ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Some of you remember Desert Storm. It wasn't that long ago. Okay, World War I was long ago, but Desert Storm is a little closer. And remember how we were coming against Saddam Hussein because he attacked Kuwait, and we were trying to get Kuwait back. We wanted to liberate Kuwait from Iraqi control. And who was the leader? Norman Schwarzkopf, right? He was the leader. And here you are. You're ready to go and attack Kuwait to free them from the Iraqi control. And this is what Norman Schwarzkopf tells you. This is the battle plan. Men, we're going to take back Kuwait. It's just firing you up, you know, you're excited. What I want you to do is to get some of the soldiers together and put them in front. Yeah, that makes sense. We got to get marched through. Then get some of the chaplains. Let them bring their trumpets and put them next. What? Behind them, I want you to have some of the chaplains carrying a Bible. This is getting a little weird. And then the rear guard. And what I want you to do is just march around the city of Kuwait one time. Don't say a word to anyone. And during this time, chaplains, they can blow their trumpets, but that's it. Then just come back to camp. That's the battle plan for day one. That's all they know. It's all the children of Israel knew. 6 days this goes on. And the same story each day. What would you think of Norman? A little too much on the drinking there or something, right? Are you kidding me? Does anyone else have a battle plan? Okay, let me change the story just a little bit. It wasn't General Norman Schwarzkopf who gave you the battle plan. Now it was the Lord. Now what would you think? You still may think that's a crazy idea. We would. I mean, we're human. Let's face it. How many of us would think, wow, let's go and do it? We would think that's a little crazy, but the Lord said it, and that's why I'm going to do it. And that's really the key. I don't always understand the hows and whys of God, but I have to obey him. That's the key. Again, the children of Israel, can you imagine day one? All right, we'll put up with Joshua for this first day, going around the city, not saying a word. But then day two and three, four, five, six. Come on, can't say a word. And I don't know about you, but if I was on the wall of the city, looking down at those guys walking around, blowing trumpets each day, maybe day one I didn't say anything because I was a little nervous, but by day two, I'm yelling at them, I'm mocking them, I'm making fun of them. Wouldn't you do the same? I mean, how ridiculous. Well, these are the guys that are going to defeat us? Look, like they blow the trumpets nice, but what's that going to do? It was a walk of faith. And by the time day seven came around, go around seven times, blow the trumpets, and shout because the Lord has given you the city. What faith? I mean, you know, again, we read these stories, but do we understand the faith of these people to do that? It was incredible here. They were obedient to the Lord's instructions, even though it sounded like a foolish thing to do. And God honored their obedience. He's going to give them the victory. Because remember, the victory is not going to be given to them because of their strength, but it was because of the Lord. This was a test by God to see if they would walk by faith. It was also a trial by the devil to see if they would refuse. Oh, make no mistake about it. The devil loves to come in there when God is testing our faith to get us to sin, to get us to disobey God. And who are we going to listen to? And it's interesting, you know, we look at this battle plan and go, man, I can't wait to see what God says for battle number two. They're all different. And we never really see another battle plan like this one. You think, well, why did God do something like this only during this battle against Jericho? And I think the reason is this. I think God was trying to strengthen their faith. You see, guys, you're not going to get the victory because you're so strong and powerful. You're going to get the victory because I am. And you're going to have to trust in me in the little battles and in the big battles. Every battle you face, you're going to have to rely on me. And I think we're probably pretty good with the big battles, right? You know, we're on our knees praying, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me. What about the little ones? I got it. We're going to see when we get to Ai, little battle, they didn't bring it before the Lord. They took care of it themselves, and they lost, interestingly enough. And remember, God leads us step by step. You have to take step one before he shows you step two. And it's really an absolute surrender to the Lord. You think about what their forefathers did in the wilderness those 40 years. Completely different. You know, God told them to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land, 40 years earlier. And Moses sends 12 spies in. They look at the land. Hey, 10 of them say the land's great. It's awesome. You know, oh man, milk and honey. Oh, it's great. But, you know, there's fortified cities. There's giants in the land. We're in trouble. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, man, the land is great. Let's go take it. God has given it to us. Those 10 spies got the whole nation to doubt God, and they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They refused to walk by faith. But here, this next generation, what are they doing? They're walking by faith now. They're trusting in the promises of God. And really, God had already given them the victory. Well, then what do they need to do? They need to walk by faith. Has God given us these victories in our lives? Yeah, we just need to walk by faith. We don't always like what the Lord tells us. And we listen to man instead of to God. And we could believe the strangest things. In fact, I'm going to read an email that I got a few years back. But I hear Bill Gates is also giving money away on Facebook too. So I got to try that one. But listen to what we're told. It says, this took two pages of the Tuesday US Today. It's for real. All capital letters. And if it's all capitals, you mean it's true because it's an email. It's got to be true. Please read. It was on the news. To all my friends, I do not usually forward messages, but this is from my good friend, Perlis Sanborn, and she really is an attorney. If she says that this will work, it will work. After all, what have you got to lose? Sorry, everybody, just had to take the chance. I am an attorney and I know the law. The thing is for real. Rest assured, AOL and Intel will follow through with their promises for fear of facing a multi-million-dollar class action suit similar to the one filed by PepsiCo against General Electric not too long ago. Dear friends, please do not take this for a junk letter. Bill Gates sharing his fortune. He was sharing it back then and still sharing it today. If you ignore this, you will repent later. I don't think that you have to repent of, but okay. Microsoft and AOL are now the largest internet companies in an effort to make sure that Internet Explorer remains the most widely used program. Microsoft and AOL are running an email beta test. Oh, this sounds so good. When you forward this email to friends, Microsoft can and will track it if you are a Microsoft Windows user for a 2-week period of time. For every person that you forward this email to, Microsoft will pay you $245. For every person that you send it to that forwards it on, Microsoft will pay you $243. And for every third person that receives it, you will be paid $241. Within 2 weeks, Microsoft will contact you for your address and then send you a check. I thought this was a scam, but 2 weeks after receiving this email and forwarding it on, Microsoft contacted me for my address, and within days, I received a check for $24,800. You need to respond before the beta testing is over. If anyone can afford this, Bill Gates is the man. It's all marketing expense to him. Please forward this to as many people as possible. You're bound to get at least $10,000. We're not going to help them out with their email beta test without getting a little something for our time. My brother's girlfriend got in on this a few months ago. When I went to visit him from the Baylor UT game, she showed me her check. It was for the sum of $4,324.44 and was stamped paid in full. Interesting choice of words, huh? Like I said before, I know the law, and this is for real. Intel and AOL are now discussing a merger, which would make them the largest internet company, and in an effort, make sure that AOL remains the most widely used program. Intel and AOL are running the email beta test. When you forward this email to friends, they can track you, so try it. What do you got to lose? I don't know even, is AOL around still? I don't, no, thank you, yeah. Because you know why? Because we made millions off them, right? No. But isn't that interesting? The people we will listen to. And let me ask you this. Do they care anything about us? No, they're trying to take advantage of us. I can't. You would not believe the number of people living in Africa that want to send me millions of dollars because they care about me. It's incredible. And yet God says, I love you more than you will ever know. And what I tell you is not here to hurt you. It's here to help you. And we tend to ignore it. When it comes to God and what he tells us, we won't lose. I'm not saying that just because you obey the Lord, your life is going to be easy. Children of Israel had battles to face. It was tough. But I'm telling you, it's the best thing for your life. And does God tell us to do crazy things sometimes? Yeah, I think sometimes he stretches us. He gets us to go beyond our comfort zones. He gets us involved in things that it just blows us away. How could we do this? And you guys are familiar with this. I've shared with you many times. But I just want to show you how faithful God is. And it doesn't matter if it's crazy or not. If God tells you, you obey him. You know, for me, I got saved some 35 years ago or so. And you know, when I first got saved, the Lord, I mean, it was so clear. God said, I'm going to bring you to Wisconsin to be a pastor. And it was crazy. I just got saved. I mean, I know absolutely nothing. And it was the craziest thing in the world. No education in Bible study, theology. I knew very little about the Bible. That's crazy enough. But here's the kicker. I hated speaking in front of people. That was like a nightmare to me. Crazy. For me, I rested in what the Lord told me. He never said go to Wisconsin, but just wait. And he was going to do this. And again, it's crazy. It makes no sense logically. How are you going to do this? But he never told me how. He just told me what he was going to do. And I tried to take, I told you, one Bible class and, you know, spend time with the counselor. And he said, I've never had this happen before. There is not one class in our program that you could take that fits your schedule. I was like, come on. I just want one class? Not one. Crazy. And for 10, 12 years, I waited upon God to do what he promised to do for me. Well, that's crazy, too. 10 or 12 years? Yeah. Then Julie went to this retreat in Indiana. She had just gotten out of the hospital. She was really sick. Her blood pressure was out of control. And the Lord was showing her, you know, I want you to go to this retreat. I got something for you. And Julie, you know, she said, I want to go. And she went. And then she called me and said, I want to come home. I'm like, oh, Julie, just hang in there, man. You know, I didn't say suck it up. I was more nice. I was a little nicer than that. But I told her, you know, the Lord said he wanted to share something with you, so just stay there. Crazy. And after the retreat, it was great. I mean, Julie loved the retreat, but, you know, there wasn't that specific thing that the Lord said he was going to show her. And afterwards, all the women had gathered together, and one of the leaders from the group said, you know, does any of you women have any prayer requests or want to share anything with the other women? And a woman spoke up and said that their church needed prayer. Their pastor had to step down, and they needed a pastor to come and oversee the church. And it was located in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Crazy. How crazy is that? If I wrote a story and said this was my life, you'd go, come on. No way. Yeah, that's how crazy it was. That was it. You know, Julie knew why the Lord had brought her to this retreat. She goes up to this woman. She goes, you know, there's someone in our church that might be interested. crazy. It was me. She didn't say or tell her that. So she came home and told me, and, you know, great man of faith I am. I was like, I was excited, but I was like, okay, now here's where the rubber meets the road. Now I have to take the step. It was really easy when God just said, I'm going to bring you to Wisconsin one day. Now I'm bringing you to Wisconsin. What? Are you crazy? But I knew what the Lord wanted. And I called up one of the elders and I said, look, let me come up for 4 Sundays and I'll teach those 4 Sundays. You guys pray about it. I'll pray about it. And we'll see what the Lord would do. And after the first Sunday, I knew where God wanted me. It was crazy, though. You know, we had a great church that we belonged to and we're actively involved in. Pastor Phil was my pastor. I learned so much from him. I still do. I was an assistant pastor. It's just wonderful, wonderful group of people. Crazy to leave. My job, I was working at an open heart unit, and my pay was awesome. I had a great working relationship with the doctors and surgeons and nurses, and I was able to help establish the open heart unit there. And, you know, we did over, by I don't remember how long it took us, but we did over 500 open heart surgeries from zero to over 500. It was awesome. I loved my job. Crazy. Our home was awesome. The kids were in a great school system. We had great neighbors. You go, man, crazy. Leaving? It was interesting when I came up and looking for a job, there wasn't any. In fact, I even tried at, you know, St. Nicholas Hospital to get a job in the ICU. They basically said, well, you know, we usually hire from within for the ICU. And, you know, and so I sent my resume in. And they called me. I think it was on a Sunday, right? The nurse recruiter calls me on a Sunday. They don't work on Sundays. And they said, we want you. Crazy. It makes no sense. Our house, we put it up for sale, not using a realtor. A neighbor across the street who had an identical house as ours was on the market for over a year, didn't sell. Within a week, our house was sold. Crazy. You know, you look at you just go, this is mind-boggling. I don't get it. How does this happen? It was the Lord. And you know what the key was? It was absolute surrender to his will and not mine. Taking those steps of faith was showing that I trusted in what the Lord had promised me. Now, we may not have, you know, these experiences like that. But we all have experiences in our life where it's a walk of faith where we have to trust him. Maybe it's taking a new job or, you know, changing positions here or whatever. I don't know. But it's a step of faith that you know this is what the Lord wants and you do it. And you see how wonderful it is. Our call's difficult. Yeah. Children of Israel, what God told them to do was crazy. It was crazy. And we don't always see the results right away, do we? I mean, wouldn't it be nice that, you know, you have a problem with drinking. Instantaneously, you're delivered. Does that happen? Yes. Does it happen all the time? No. Arthur W. Pink put it like this in regard to absolute surrender. 2 things are required of us: adhering strictly to the directions which God has given us, trustfully and hopefully waiting for his blessing upon the same. Patience must have her perfect work. Thus it is was with Israel here. They fainted not because the walls of Jericho fell, not the first or second, nor even the fifth or sixth day, nor did they take matters into their own hands and resort to another method. In other words, don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. Continue to walk by faith and see the victory that God will give you. You know, faith is important here. It may not be instantaneously. We are, let's face it, we're a generation that wants things instantaneously. I'm really bad here. You can ask my wife. You know, I had surgery on Friday and I'm ready to go. What can I do? How much can I do? When can I start running again? It's crazy. That's me. I want to keep moving. And sometimes God has to slow you down. And I've been pretty good. Julie's given me B?
C.
Oh, God. I got to try harder. Our faith has to be in the Lord and his word. You know, we have this idea that faith is some kind of force today. You know, like in Star Wars, may the force be with you. No, that's not faith. That's a movie. What did the children of Israel do? Did they stare at the walls of Jericho? Walls of Jericho, come down by faith. No, they didn't do that. They walked by obedience to God's word, his promise to them. And guess what? The walls of Jericho did fall down. And they fell down outwardly. You know, when you attack a city, you push walls down and they fall back. Walls of Jericho came outward because God knocked them down. Let me say this, and I realize some people may be offended by this, but that's okay because it is what it is. There's no power in faith. Faith can't do anything. Faith is a pathway to God. We put so much on faith instead of on God. And I realize that's shocking, but turn over to Mark for a second. Mark chapter 11. And in Mark 11, we're going to pick up in verse 20, where we're told this. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Peter and the boys are focusing on a fig tree. And what does Jesus do? He gets their attention back on God. Why? To trust in him. This is not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it theology. Some even go to the extreme to tell us that Jesus wants us to have faith in our faith. What does that mean? That makes no sense, to have faith in faith. There's a lot of people that have faith in their faith, but that's empty. What does Jesus say here in verse 22 of Mark 11 to have faith in? God. You see how simple? I mean, it's not complicated. I think we know this up here, but we listen to what others say, and they get us confused. Have faith in God. Trust in him. And it's not get whatever you want. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, John put it like this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, asking in his according to his will. And isn't that what we pray for? I don't know everything. And if I ask for something that's going to hurt me, I don't want it. Lord, I want what you want for my life. I think of King Hezekiah. Remember how it was Isaiah the prophet came up to him and said, you know, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. And, you know, this godly king in the southern kingdom of Judah, and he was a godly king. I don't want to die. No, no, no. God said, all right, well, I'll give you 15 more years. The perfect will of God for Hezekiah, it's time to go home. But God allowed 15 more years in his life. Do you know what happened in those 15 years? There was a son born to Hezekiah by the name of Manasseh, who was the worst king in the southern kingdom of Judah. In fact, when God says, I'm bringing judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah, it's because of the sins of Manasseh. Would it have been better for Hezekiah to go home? Yeah. So we always pray for God's will. I think that's important. Again, have faith in God and his word, and then just walk accordingly. Absolute surrender to him. You think, well, what if you don't want to surrender to God's will? What if you don't want to surrender to his control? What if you refuse to bow his will in your life for, you know, your marriage, your morals, your attitudes, your tongue, or whatever? You're not going to win. It's going to be bad. The very points on which you refuse to surrender will become your enemies that will rule your own life. And that's important for us to understand. Before I was saved, man, in the car, I've told you, anger was an issue for me. Someone cut me off, someone going really slow, someone just on my road. Just, what are you laughing at? It's my road, isn't it? No? Oh, darn. And I would get mad. I'd get angry. And some, you know, sometimes I'd ride right on their bumper. I mean, you could ask my wife, man, she would be terrified in the car. She would hide. try to get, you know, as low as she can, because she was terrified. I think the Lord brought me to the other extreme now. I don't care. Yeah, my wife's very excited, but I don't care. They cut me off. Well, maybe they didn't see me. That anger issue in that situation is gone. Does that mean every anger issue in my life is gone? I wish. God's still working. But think about it. If you don't surrender, anger can control you.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.